I want to encourage you. You need the person sitting next to you, and the other person on the other side, and the person behind you. You need everyone around you to do what God's called you to do. You cannot do it on your own. It's impossible, because the call of God and the plan of God is so big that you can't possibly do it on your own. You're not made to. So please stop trying to. Team is very difficult to build, amen? How many times do you see in whatever sport it is, just because you put a bunch of talented people together, that doesn't make a great team. It takes a while to work together, to bond together, to find out the strengths and weaknesses, where to put everybody in their greatest strengths so that they, as a team, can win. And you know what? When we work together as a team, we win. Tell your neighbor, say, you're pathetically weak all by yourself. Arthur, is the reason why you didn't say that? Yeah. Now, you're strong in Christ, so we want to make sure that that's clear. Oh, we're just streaming the audio. Thank you, Pastor Mike. He just comes by and drops off notes on the way by the pulpit every once in a while. I was hoping for cash, but he just sent a note, so. Listen, you are. Without everyone around us, we can't accomplish what God's called us to do. But together, we can do what he has called us to. And he's given us one little job, a small one. The salvation of every man, woman, and child you come in contact with. That's it. So when you get that done, you can go home. Until then, we're a team, and we're going to stay here working. Amen? So here we are at the end of another year. Hallelujah. I don't think that it's going to flip a switch the first of the year and everything goes back to the way it was. But thank God we get to flip a switch every morning and get up in the presence of our God and know that we're going to walk in victory today. Listen, he has carried you all through last year, didn't he? And he did a good job. And all them pretty clothes you guys are wearing, that's amazing. You look spiffy this morning, I just want you to know. All right? God has carried us through and he's made a way when some said the sky was falling. And yet here we are. Provided for by the King of Glory above and beyond what we even asked for. He's a good God. And you know, as we prepare for this coming year, usually at the end of the year, today, the title would be Reflection. And I think at the end of the year, it's a great time to reflect on what happened last year. What happened in our lives, where we started out the year in and where we ended up the year in. I think it's important that we reflect every year. Businesses do, don't they? Anyone that owns their own business, they get their bookkeeper together. Some of them start sweating profusely. Others have to buy things in order not to give Uncle Sam money, whatever it is. But they have to look at the books. They have to take an intimate look at what's going on in their business to see what happened through the year and where they're starting from next year. What the plan is. Because in order to get a vision for the next year, we're going to have to find out what happened this year. Right? Because I don't want to have the same vision for next year that I had this year.
That's right.
I don't want to do that again. Prayerfully, something changed from last year to this year inside of us individually, right? Because this is all, listen, reflection is about us individually. This is a time of really looking upon our lives seriously. Because let me tell you something, if the companies don't look at their books at the end of the year seriously, the IRS likes to. They like to find the issues or the problems to make you pay some more. And you know, the enemy is the same way. If we don't look at what's going on, we just walk through life. The enemy says, oh, look at, they're not even paying attention. They don't even care. They're not looking at where they started, where they're growing to, and what God has called them to do. You know, and sometimes the scripture says, when we look in a mirror and then we look away, we forget what we look like. I never forget what you guys look like because I look at you all the time. Some of you, I don't know that well. And prayerfully, that will change over this next year. We get to know each other a little bit better so that I can put a name to a face, right? Isn't that the problem we have? I got to have a face to put a name to. You say, oh yeah, Harry was over there last Sunday. Sure. Harry who? You know, and then we have to start giving ideas and thoughts, right? You know, Harry, he wore the bib overalls in. He was 6'8". You remember Harry had a piece of corn or a piece of Timothy hanging out of his head, straw. Oh, yeah, I know Harry. We got to put an image to it. Can I tell you, we got to look in the mirror very closely at each one of our lives and reflect on it at the end of the year and do an assessment of what's happening and what has happened. And what a beautiful time of year to do it. Because his grace, his mercy, it's being poured out day after day. So this isn't a condemnation. We're not allowed to condemn ourselves. Tell your neighbor, can't condemn yourself. Tell their other neighbor, you shouldn't either. All right? You can't. This is not about condemning yourself. If all you're doing is looking for what's wrong, you're assessing yourself wrong. It's not about looking for what's wrong. It's looking about where we started and where we're going. Where we started and where we ended up just this year. How do we start out in our marriage? How do we start out with our children? How do we start out with the call of God or the vision that God gave while we were fasting? Speaking of fasting, my favorite time of year. This year we'll be starting a fast. What's that? It's the most wonderful time of the year. For Christians, it should be. You know, Finney and them guys said if a man doesn't fast twice a week, he isn't worthy of the pulpit. Great men and women of God always gave themselves to prayer and fasting. And so as a church, we always want to give ourselves to prayer and fasting according to the word of God. And this year, we'll be fasting for 21 days. Yes! Okay, two of us are encouraged by it. Listen, sometimes eating can be an addiction that needs to be broken too, amen? And if we're in America, we're addicted to food. Because I tell you what, 3 days of prime rib, I need to fast. Leftovers. I like taking a chunk out in the morning for breakfast and just chewing on it. Then I have a little bit more for lunch and a little bit more for dinner. But sometimes food can be an addiction too. And sometimes it only comes out through what? Prayer and fasting. You know, so many issues that we have in America all start in our diet and in our gut, everything that goes on in our lives. And we need to pay attention. And we're not doing it for that. This isn't a diet. We're just saying sometimes it's an addiction that can be broken. But the fasting, we'll be fasting for 21 days, the 4th through the 24th. And there are some that fasted last year for the first time ever in their lives and said what a difference and a breakthrough they got in denying the body and walking in the spirit. The Bible says that man doesn't live by what? Bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So as we're fasting, we're always in the word of God. And can I encourage you, while we're fasting, shut off your television unless it has to do with Christian programming. And I mean serious Christian programming, not because there was one Christian guy that wrote one line in the thing that you watched. All right? But a Christian theme that you would, for your children too, say, hey guys, you know what? For the next 21 days, we're just going to focus on this. They've got that series out, The Chosen. They've got a few of them. And listen, if you can't find nothing else, watch VeggieTales. All right? They always have some good points. And the one I would suggest is The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything. That's a good one. Okay, Rumor Weed. That's another very good one. All right, that's an amazing one right there. But find something Christian, something that's going to feed your spirit. Prayerfully, just turning most of it off and just sitting with the word and in prayer at night. Don't worry, you'll be asleep by 6:30. Some of them. They sit down in the evening after being outside in the cold, start reading, boom, conk out. Your sleep gets better, everything gets better, your spirit gets stronger, and that's what this is about. This is about building ourselves up in the most holy faith. You know, I want, it's saying that I want him more than I want food. And I desire the hunger in my soul, and I want that, I want it to be a hunger for souls. The way that I hunger for the natural things, I want to hunger for the supernatural things. And it's quite obvious in the Word of God, it says, when you fast. Tell your neighbor, say, when you fast. Right. Now, if you've never fasted before, please, or if you're on a lot of medicines, if you're on a lot of medicines, see your doctor. If you've never fasted before, start with one day. And then you can go back and eat again. If you've fasted one day, do 3 days, okay? And then you can work it in there. For those of you who have fasted before, 21 days isn't that hard. It's all here. Because your body says, thank you very much. Your mind says, I want it really bad. I don't know what you crave, but for me, it's cheese. If I see a Cheez-It, I start to just smash it up and grind it. And the flavor. I don't know what yours is, but everybody has something that they crave in the middle of it. But for mine, it's always cheese. And you know what? I just put it to the side, and then I make a decision that I want him more than I want anything else. And when Jesus was filled with the Spirit, the first thing he did was he went off and he fasted and he prayed. And he changed the world. He led 12 men or 11 men into a place of victory where they surrendered their lives unto the death. And they cared not about what men had to say. Man will talk vile and evil of you when you walk out the call of God. It cost John the Baptist his head for standing on the principles of God. But he died in victory. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to die in vain. I don't want to die in an old age because I just lived long. I want to die in such a way that I have surrendered every area of my life. I want to give him every moment, every desire of his for me, so that one more might find out who he is and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then on that day, whenever it is, I don't care. I don't care. But I want to fulfill what he's called me to do. I just don't want to live long. I want to live right. And as we walk at, as we walk this out, I guarantee it will change your life. And again, whatever you can do, teenagers, you can also. All right? You guys, you need to fast and pray because there's a lot of kids in your grade that need you. You're the answer. And they, you know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for the teenagers to give them a word that's going to change their lives. They don't even know it, but they're looking for spiritual answers. And tag, you're it. You're the spiritual answer, every teenager in here, for the kids that are in school. So when you walk in there, it's no different than me walking up here. That's your pulpit, that's your harvest field, that's your job, that's your training, that's where you equip, that's where you win souls. You do it all right there. And if you'll take and deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him, you'll have a harvest by the time you graduate. And that's our expectation for every one of our kids. Amen? That there's a harvest in their lives. So during fasting, we'll get more into this next week. We'll have prayer from 6 to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday here. And then at night, 6 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, right downstairs, just come in the back door of the church. We'd love to have you there. We've watched a lot of miracles take place in marriages and people's lives through prayer and worship. And I believe that God wants to do some more of the miraculous this year in preparing us for what he's got. Amen? Back to reflection. As we reflect on our lives, you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Did I say first or second?
Second.
Oh, okay. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 and 6 says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Tell your neighbor, say, I don't fail the test. Right, we got to have the same mind as Paul, right, in this, that we don't fail the test. But he says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. You know, he's made a way through this last year in one of the most tumultuous times in my lifetime that I know. Those that came through the 30s, it was a whole different time, and it was much worse than what we walked through. But in my lifetime, it was one of the most upside-down years that I've ever seen. And yet, in the midst of that, God, through his grace and his mercy, has added to the house of faith, praise God. Right? He strengthened each and every one of us that we found out we can do things different, and we can survive. Just because man says something, we still walk through, and guess what? Change came into each one of our lives. We found out we don't need half the junk we were involved in. How many distractions did you let go of this year, or did they take away this year and you realized they were distractions? How many things were we running after, or things that we allowed into our lives that were simply distractions? He's allowed us to preach the truth, and he's shown us that he never leaves us no matter what happens in this world. What an amazing God. You know, and I just really want to take the next couple of days till the end of the year and do an assessment of ourselves. A couple of questions that I want you to ask yourself. I'll wait till you get your pens out or your phone to write it in there or your pad. Number one, what am I? Because we got to find that out first, amen? And make sure that that's cemented. Number two, what have I done? And then number three, what do I want? Those things will really sum up what we've given ourselves to and where we're heading. You know, in the crazy lives that we live, we need to pause occasionally in this life and take an account of our standing in the sight of God. Not standing in the sight of men. That's why not husbands and wives together, but individually stepping off. Every teenager stepping off. You know, people make, as we said, advances in businesses, and then they have to really look at everything that they have done to see where they're going to go next year. So the scripture says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. In the faith. Faith is the salt which seasons all of our actions. Amen? We said, the Bible says that you are the salt of the earth, right? And if it loses its saltiness, what good is it? Right? It can be trampled under feet. But that salt is actually the seasoning about everything that has to do with everything you do this next year. And that salt is actually your faith. Because we've watched the world, they do things in the natural and accomplish great things in the natural. Look at the buildings that they have built, the places that they have conquered, planet or the moon that they have gone to. Some would disagree. Regardless, what man has done in his natural abilities. But he didn't call us to walk in our natural abilities. He called us to walk in our calling, which is a supernatural gift that God has given to change people's lives for all of eternity. So faith is that salt which must season. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me ask you a question. Can anybody see the depths of your heart? Nobody. We see some actions. But nobody knows the thoughts that you have going on inside of your mind. You and only God knows. Your husband or your wife, even they don't know. Your moms and your dads, they don't know. No one knows the struggles that we have deep down in our hearts. And you see, that's what God wants us to take a look at. Not how many chapters you read last year. That's an overflow of the love affair that we have with the Father. Amen? How many chapters you read, that's a discipline that we build in. Why? Because we've fallen in love with the King of Glory and we want to hear from him every day. I fell in love with my wife and I love to hear from her every day, but I want you to know her words won't save me. They'll strengthen me. They'll correct me at times. They'll build me up, but they can't save me. So nobody knows what's going on deep down in your heart, but that's the assessment. You know what goes on in the bottom of your heart. You know what you're struggling with or fighting with. You know where the enemy has lied to you over and over and over again. And there's a lie that's been built in there that you've grabbed a hold of and you won't let it out. But God wants to reach deep down in there, and he wants you to reflect this year. Where'd you start out last year? Or the beginning of this year? Where'd you start out? Where'd you end? Did we unearth some of that stuff? Did we get to a place where you started to believe what I said rather than what you think? The cameras are back on. Welcome back, everybody that's online. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I take full responsibility. I have no idea what goes on with the cameras, but I take full responsibility. We cannot come to his table without faith. We can't. It is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. He doesn't give himself to anybody without faith. Faith is the voice of our soul. And with it, we receive Christ. Right? It's by faith we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, unless we reflect on where we are and we do an assessment, we're just going to fall back into that same rut. Now, we all got yanked out of our normal rut from last year, but God wants us to get out of a spiritual rut also. Not in an area where our thoughts are limited. Because if we don't agree with the Word of God in any area of our lives, we've limited what God can do through us. Amen? So we're going to have to go back and take a look at this. Our faith must work by love. And in saying that, when you reflect on your life this year, you're going to have to do it in love towards yourself. How many people do you know always put themselves down? And some people just look down because you put yourself down. You deny yourself the freedom in Jesus Christ. And the words that he has spoken over you, you deny the power of them because you don't believe them. This is a time to look in that mirror and to agree with what God has said. And then look into our hearts and say, wait a minute, what's been eating at me? What's been consuming me? What's been controlling me? Because our faith, it must be walked out in love. Can we agree? Right? Love has everything to do with it. And so many times, if a person doesn't love themselves, they never have enough love for anyone else. When people hate themselves and all they do is find fault with everyone else. Now, this is what God wants to get rid of. Because if that was some of the thoughts that you had last year, that you limited yourself, God doesn't want you limited. Does his word limit you, or does it liberate you? Right. So why is it that we don't agree with the liberating word, but we agree with the lie? Because the lie always puts us back in bondage. The lie always limits us. There's people that you can bring to a room. They're Christians. We all get together. Hey, what's going on? Nothing. What's the matter? Nothing. Oh, what'd you do today? Nothing. And they'll just shut right down when there's other people in the room. I'm just too afraid. You're afraid because you don't know who you are. We're afraid because we don't believe what God said about us. Why can't we walk into a room and somebody says, how are you doing? I'm doing wonderful. Oh yeah, how can you say that? Because God changed my life. How simple is that? Why can't we just agree with the word of God? Well, that just sounds unreal when I say it. Oh, so the truth becomes unreal because you say it. See, this is where we have to get past our thinking when we reflect on ourselves. Because I can't tell you how many times people in the church have come over the last 30 years that I've been doing this, and they usually are down on themselves. God is not down on you. He's not. He doesn't want you to expose what's going on inside of your heart so he can beat you with it. That's what the world does. The world wants to find out where you're weak, and they want to pound that over and over and over again. Maybe you made a bunch of mistakes. You want to keep a tally? Let's go tit for tat. We'll write them down, how many you made and how many I made. It's not what God's looking for, because he wants to rid you of all of the lies that are in there. He doesn't want you thinking the same way this coming year as you did last year or me. I've got to change the way that I'm going to walk. The love, it's got to be from a place of love, knowing that you're loved by the Father. You are so loved by the Father that he gave. Amen? Now, that love is a two-way street, because when we understand that it's through a place of love that we have to inspect ourselves, then everyone else gets that same love when we inspect them. And we always do. We always do, whether it comes to marriage or children or people that you're walking with, a team that you're building. We're always looking and looking at everyone that comes in, but it must be based out of a heart of love and believing what God's word says in the midst of mistakes that have been made. Those two are inseparable. Our faith causes us to live charitably, doesn't it? It's our faith that causes us to live charitably. And it's our charity that declares our faith. You can say you're a very giving person, but if you never give anything away, are you a giving person? Right? If you're a very kind person, but you never build anybody up, are you a very kind person? These are things that we have to think about, because it's got to be with love wrapped up in God, and our faith is expressed in the way that we walk. So the love that we have, that God has for you, you have to agree with. And then you're going to have to express the struggle that you have in agreeing with him because of. And then eventually, he's going to have to be able to trump everything else inside of your heart. His word, his love, his mercy, and his grace. His mercy is brand new every morning. Paul tells us to test ourselves. You're going to have to test your, and nobody can do a comprehensive test like you can on yourself, right? Nobody can, because if I come to you, I'm going to build you up. I'm not going to sit there and say, you know what? You didn't do this and this and this and this and this and this, and I really can't. I struggle, you know what, because of this. Who's going to do that? How many people you think be in the church after that day? Just me. No, we're gonna build, but nobody does an assessment on themselves better than you do. But we're gonna have to do it according to the word of God. My friend Dave and his bride Jody out in Buffalo, he built a machine that tests the emissions that come out of vehicles. It analyzes the vehicle and it tells you how much oxygen, how much fuel, how it's burning. I don't know all of it. I just know an overview, and that was enough. He knows all the technical side of it, but it analyzes everything coming out of that vehicle. Can I tell you, everything that comes out of you is an analyzation of who you are when people hear it? But you know what? After he built that machine, he went to one state that's very strict on emissions, the strictest in the country, and he said, here's the machine that we use to test emissions. And they said, that's great, but what do you use to calibrate your machine or analyze your analyzer? Now, we could run that out and say, well, where does it end? But they said, we want to make sure that your analyzer is working properly, so we have another machine that's going to calibrate this one. Can I tell you? It's no different than the word of God. You analyze the way that you think and what's going on inside of you, but you need something else to analyze your thoughts. You analyze yourself day and night, sometimes in your vehicle for hours at a time. You don't need anybody there, and you're going through, and you have all kinds of scenarios that you're building in your mind. Nobody's there, and you beat yourself to a pulp, or you beat up everybody else, or you feel like a failure, or you've won the world, whatever it is. But we're going to have to utilize the word of God to analyze what comes out of us or what's coming out of us. Whatever comes out of that vehicle, he plugs that machine in, and it tells you just what's going on. Whatever is coming out of us, we're going to have to take the word of God and correct it. You see, once they find out what's wrong with the truck, once they find out what's wrong with the car, they go in and they make some adjustments on the vehicle to make it run better, get better mileage, make it run cleaner. I want you to know I need the word of God in my life because I got a lot more miles I got to get out of myself. Amen. And I want to burn a lot cleaner. Okay. That's what fasting helps you do. But I want to live a life that's freer than I ever have before. I want 21. No matter what the government or what goes on in the world, what the government says, I want to make sure that as I assess myself, as I look at the depths of my heart, and as I'm reminded of God's great love, that he loves me. And he said that everyone has a measure of what? Faith. Tell your neighbors, I have a measure. Tell your other neighbor, say, mine's big. See, some people believe a measure is only something very, very small. Like when you take powdered sugar and you just barely tap it and a couple of flakes land on it. Can I tell you, I want that thing turned upside down when I get my fried bread dough. I want this much bread dough and this much powdered sugar. So when I eat it, I inhale it, it covers me, I don't care. I'll be licking it off my face like Scooby-Doo for the next 2 hours. I want that on there. Can I tell you, that's the anointing that I need. I know is inside of you, that you have the ability to cover the area that you're in to affect and infect everyone around you. That's what the Holy Spirit did when he entered your body. He filled you up with power, with authority. He filled you to a place where you don't have to look at yesterday as far as all your failures. He said, no, I've got brighter tomorrows for you if you believe me. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians this time. Chapter 11. Oh, man. We got to hurry. We are in the middle of page 2 and we got to go to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, 28, says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So once again, he's saying you're going to have to examine yourself. And this is a great time of year for that. How liberating is it to be able to look at our lives through the eyes of faith and figure out where we're at. Where we're at. Sorry. Some of the thoughts that we need, you know, is do I have a right to be here? Wherever you're at, do I have a right to be here? In the presence of God, you do through the blood of Jesus Christ. So stop denying that. That others are more qualified, others are better, others are more spiritual, others have done more. You're going to have to lay all of that down and realize that you have a right to stand in the throne room of God before the presence of the King of Glory with no shame and no guilt. Am I obedient? See, as a good soldier, the Bible says not to entangle ourselves in the what? The affairs of this world. We found out how many of the affairs of this world we were in after 2020, because there was a lot of things that we did that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Have I been watchful? The Bible says that we are watchmen on the wall. We don't get entangled in the affairs of this world. We don't look at what's going on out there. We only look to him and we build his kingdom. Our spare time, our time that we have on our own is about either being with him or being with those that he has sent to us. Have I been reliable? Am I diligent in disciplining my soul? Ouch. These are the practical looks. Have I been walking out my calling? Coming before the Lord's table is to examine ourselves, knowing no man or woman knows the depths The power is in that blood, obviously, because the Bible says that it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So the blood, the power of the blood never changes. How about your testimony? How about the words that fly out of your mouth? Do they change with the situation? See, only we know in the depths. Does it happen when someone has a problem with you? Do you dive into a pit for an hour, a day, or weeks? When someone disagrees with you, do you all of a sudden lose control? See, we've got to figure out how to act in every situation. That's what soldiers do. I was listening to a podcast yesterday about this one guy. He went in the Army, he was airborne, and then he went to the Delta Force. And he said in the Delta Force training, he said it was out of control. Obviously, they destroy you the whole time that you're going. He went from 230 pounds down to 160 in, I think, what did he say, 4 weeks? Something like that? He did it twice because he failed the first time, so he went through it again. He lost 60 pounds going through training, beating his body into submission to accomplish a task. Isn't it amazing what men and women will do to their bodies for a mission or for glory or for a competition or for a sport? And yet when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we back off. But this man said, he said one of the worst parts of it, he says at the end, you do the endless march. Because normally we all have a purpose, right? Whenever you're going to do something, okay, here's the beginning and here's the end. We've got to get from here to here. Now I've got to accomplish that task. If I don't accomplish it, I get frustrated. But he said the endless march is, he said we'd be marching. Says 20 miles. He said, and we're marching. We got to get from this point to this point. We get there. They say, yeah, we're not done. And we just turn and start marching a different direction. He said, because there's something in the mind of people that they're so used to accomplishing a task and only going from here to here and being done. Sense of accomplishment that men and women give up when they don't find the end right away. And he said, what they teach you is you don't stop no matter what. Stop looking to be done. Stop looking to finish everything. Stop looking. That's what they teach you in school. Okay, study real hard, pass the test, you're done. Right? So we're trained like that from a very young age. But with God, it's just each day. How many people are sitting around waiting for the rapture? How many people are doing nothing for the kingdom of God? Because they already got saved, and I'm good. The heat's on, the light's on, the TV's on, and that's really the important part. And I'm going to sit here on my couch until Jesus comes. I don't think you're going to like the interview when you get there if you sit in front of your couch and do nothing for the King of Glory. What will you present before him? And listen, he won't have to say anything because it's in his presence. We're going to collapse. But I guarantee you that if we don't do an assessment, this next year will go by, and it'll be the same as last year. It'll be the same, and you'll be here next year. But to assess what's going on in the depths of my heart, how do I speak? How's my giving? Kind words, stuff, time to the things of God. Reminded, we read in Luke chapter 2, right, where Anna, here she was in the house of God, fasting and praying, year after year after. She was waiting, but she was serving God day after day. She was on that march all the way until Jesus takes her home. She didn't stop doing what the word said to do. She had nothing else, so she just kept serving the King of Glory. And that's what God's looking for each one of us. Discouragement comes when something doesn't happen when we want it to. Doesn't it? We've set certain goals for ourselves. How many times did you beat yourself up last year? Because you didn't get done what you wanted. You're in a place, but you didn't get everything done. Maybe just painting the outside of your house before it got cold. Silly things like that get us frustrated. How was dinner that night? Did everybody get it? Did everybody have to hear? Did we find fault in everything else because you were upset with what you didn't do? These are some thoughts that we've got to really dig into in our hearts. And how do we respond to situations? God wants us to respond according to his word. Your redemption is complete because you're in Christ. Amen? Your righteousness is complete because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, I am righteous. By the blood. By the blood. Because of the blood. Through the blood. Right. So you've received your righteousness already. Sanctification, that's a daily walk. And that's what we're talking about here. Walking out our lives in faith. Kevin, you want to go ahead and bring the ushers and have them hand out? We're going to take communion. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 7 and 8, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. And it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. You're going to have to ask, Lord, what's been going on in my heart? What's been hindering me from producing the fruit that your word says I can? Go ahead, Austin, go ahead and pass it out. What's been hindering me in my thought process? Yeah, where's Jeremy? Oh, sorry, Jeremy. What's been hindering me in my thoughts? What's been hindering me as I speak? As I speak, am I gathering or am I driving people away? What's been hindering me in what I've been putting before my eyes? What are some of the things that God has called me not to look at anymore? And this goes for everybody. Just because it's the newest movie doesn't mean it's what's best for you. Amen. Just because it was one of your favorite shows, it might not be right for you this year. Are we willing to do an assessment, an honest assessment in our lives? And then whatever the Spirit of God brings up and says, lay this down for me this year. Are we going to walk in that kind of strength where we lay it down? Maybe it's just an attitude. Maybe it's an attitude that you have towards someone in here or someone that's not here. When we start to dive into the depths of our heart, is there someone that I haven't forgiven yet? Is there someone that has hurt me that I haven't released yet? Is there someone that lied to me and I haven't gone and done what God said? If you have a problem with a brother, you do what? Go to your brother. Because if we're going to inspect our hearts and we're going to find out, we need to look deep down in there and we need to root that stuff out. And then there needs to be the act of obedience in faith according to his word. Amen? So this year, I'm believing for something so much greater for everyone in here. But it's a time of reflection. Maybe it's some of the most wonderful things you watch God do. Maybe a loved one got saved. A child, a wayward child came back, reflecting on those things so that we can rejoice even more. Reflecting on the good and then reflecting on what needs to change. So blessed with one of the ladies that goes to pray with my wife and watching both of her kids come to the Lord this year. How powerful is that? Is there any greater desire in any mom or dad's heart for a child to walk strong with the Lord? There is no greater desire. What a day, what a year to rejoice in. And all the things that God has done and all the ways that he has made a way in your life this year, we need to rejoice in that. And again, remember all that he has done. But now whatever we're putting before our eyes, reflecting on that, what we're hearing, we've got to think about how we hear. Because sometimes we hear through a filter that God's been trying to get rid of. Sometimes we hear through a filter of either rejection. No matter what anybody says, you take it as rejection. Some through fear. It causes fear no matter what. We've got to change the way that we hear. Lord, I want to know, am I hearing things wrong? Am I listening with a spiritual ear? Or am I still listening with my natural fleshly ear? Am I seeing through my natural eyes those things which build and strengthen and encourage and lift up? What am I hearing through? Father, what am I giving my hands to? What did I give it to last year? Did I give my hands more to my kingdom than I did yours? Did I run after the cares of this world rather than yours? It's a time of reflection. It's a time to sit quietly before the Lord. For one day, we'll all stand before Him alone. Amen. We'll all stand there. But if we're going to change the world, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. I believe that the Christ in you is able to do all things. I believe that there's nothing impossible with the calling that God has placed upon your life. I believe that there's an amazing harvest coming because of the transformation that God has made in every life here and everyone that's listening. So I believe you can see it, but we have to do a little reflecting and asking. And then can I encourage you this year? Start to write. Start to write down the Spirit of God is either encouraging you in or saying, hey, let's not watch that. Hey, I heard that wrong after I went and talked to my brother or my sister. And I need to change the way that I hear. I need to get lost in worship even more than I did last year. Whatever it is, write it down, because we forget things, amen? How many wonderful things has God done in your life? You can't even count them because we forget. All the years that you've been walking with the Lord, for those that have been walking for a long time, we can't even remember all the beautiful little things that God did. Sometimes we never even prayed about it. We just said, oh, that would be nice in our mind, and it happened in our lives. Oh, what a glorious God we have that takes care of the things that we need before we even speak them. How glorious is He? Amen? Let's stand up this morning. Here's, you can stay seated if you want to, if you're comfortable. He said, hey, when you do this, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning, at the end of all the busyness, there's no life groups this afternoon. It's you time. The next couple of evenings until the first to reflect, to inspect, to enjoy Him. Can I tell you, He's not the one that beats you down. He's the one that builds you up. He's not the one that piles things on you. He's the one that takes your burden. He's not the one that tries to lock those things around your arm and your mind and your neck and your ankles. He's the one that looses the chains from every one of our lives. So if there's a word that comes that tries to condemn you, you cast it out in the name of Jesus. But He is a God that corrects. Amen? We correct our kids because we want more. He's a God that corrects each one of us. And He does that very gently. How gently did He save you in the midst of the darkness and the pathetic lives we were living without Him? How horrible did we act and speak, and yet He came alongside. Someone spoke a beautiful word, and we agreed with it, and we gave our lives to Christ, and He said, now I've cleansed you. You need to do nothing else for your redemption, because I've washed you in the power of my love. How gracious is our King. Father, this morning we remember the body that was given and broken for each and every one of us. We're reminded how you walked of your own accord, knowing what was about to come. We're reminded of how you reflected on that night and you said, Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then as they took you from that place of prayer, tortured you, beat you, whipped you, and crucified you, You said, I'm giving myself that every one of the sons and daughters of God can have a right relationship with the Father, that they would never feel cast out again. They would never feel alone again. They would never believe for a moment that they are failures, that they are outcasts or orphans or abandoned. But they would always know that He's with you and He's for you. Father, this morning we remember the victory in Jesus Christ through the body that was given, breaking every curse over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And your word says, and He took the blood. He took the cup of a new covenant. Oh, God. Thank you, Father, that it's not by works that any man can boast, but it's by faith in the Son of the living God. He who was and is to come, the firstborn. Father, today, we thank you for the power of the blood that has washed us, every single one. Anyone who names the name of Jesus Christ has been washed and made whole. And Father, right now, we do it in remembrance of the freedom that you have given us, of the promise that you made to us, that if we would simply ask, we would receive. And Father, today, because we are washed in the blood, we're going to live a life that is free in you. And Lord, we're going to walk in such a way that others will come and see you in all of your glory. Thank you for renewing us this morning, renewing our strength. Holy Spirit, fill each one with a fresh anointing this morning. Let wisdom fill each one of us. Let the power of the word just completely transform the way that we think, the way that we speak. Father, let there be a love for your word from this day forward like never before in this house of God. And Lord, let there be a hunger for prayer. And Lord, when there's an opportunity to get together, it's the thing we desire above all else, for we know that you're the God that hears and answers our cry. And we watched, we've read many times how when all the men went to sleep, Jesus went to be with you. Father, we make a decision that because of this blood, we can come before you and we're going to take advantage of what you have promised us. Let this be a year that we just run to you. No matter what anybody else is doing, our feet run into your presence that was made by the blood of the Lamb. The ability to come into your presence by the blood of your Son. Today, we surrender and we celebrate our freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God in this house. And as we reflect and we look at what you have called us to do and the promises you made over us and what your word has said, Father, I thank you for strength, strength, strength in the name of Jesus over each one. Lord, that no matter what thought comes, we have the strength, according to the word of God, to cast off that which is the lie. Grab a hold of the truth so that your name would be glorified. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come close. Thank you for that still small voice that speaks to us in such a gentle, kind way and says, don't do that no more. Don't go there. Let's get rid of that thought, that attitude, that habit, that distraction. Father, that we would be your sons and daughters. Say, yes, Father. And we would walk in to a year where we're never the same. Thank you for faith. Let faith arise in every heart to believe your word, so those around us would be changed forever. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. For you're the only one that is due. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Grab a hold of someone today. Let them know that you're going to reflect and you'll be praying for them also, that God would do a mighty work in each one of them.